Early risers! How you guys doing? Thank you so much for getting up early to worship with us. What a great day. Hey, welcome to Vineyard Church North Phoenix online. Online. Glad you're here early in the morning. May the Lord bless you for getting up early. Hey, if you have a Bible, if you have an app, where I'm going to teach this morning is in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. Matthew 8, 23 to 27. But before we get into that, I just want to take a moment and talk about the offering for a moment. I know some of you give financially to God through our church. When you're at our physical church building, and obviously that's not happening for quite some time. And so, the best way to give and continue giving to God through our church is through the little button that's at the top of your screen right now that says give. You can click on that button anytime and give back financially to God through our church. Now, there are other ways that we can give as well. You can go on our website, vineyardnorthphoenix.com, and give at any time. You can text on your mobile device right now if you would like to. That number's on there. Or you can give on MyVC, and I think that's the best way to give. That's the way my wife and I give, because you can automate your giving. And so any of those ways, and I want to remind you, man, when you and I are giving back financially to God through our church, it really makes a difference in real people's lives, especially during COVID-19. I mean, so many people are hurting and have needs right now, and by you and I giving financially to God through our church, it's really helping us to be a blessing all around our community. And I know many of you are incredibly faithful. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being faithful in giving back to God. We're going to pause for a moment. Let's pray and ask God to bless the offering whenever we give back to God. And let's also open our hearts and open our minds to God and ask Him specifically to speak to us out of the Bible this morning as we worship Him through His Word. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for the opportunity to partner with what you're doing in the world financially, God. And as we give, Lord, I pray that every person who gives, whenever they do that, that you would bless us immensely for giving back to you, and you would use our money to glorify the name of Jesus and to help people in real tangible ways. And now, Lord, as we dive into the scripture, I pray, God, that you'd use the scripture in each one of our lives in whatever way we need to hear from you, God. I pray you'd speak very clearly through me. In order for that to happen, Lord, I really need your empowering. So come upon me, give me the gift of teaching, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last weekend I started a new series called Dealing with Your Feelings During COVID-19. Last weekend I talked about stress and how do we overcome stress during this time. This weekend I'm going to talk about another emotion that we're all dealing with, and that's the emotion of worry. And the truth is, whether or not we want to admit it, we all struggle with worry from time to time. Even when we're not dealing with COVID-19, don't we? We all struggle, but obviously it's a lot more now. And that's not that big of a deal until you look at a verse like Philippians 4:6, where it says, don't worry about anything. That is a command in the Bible. It's a command. And I know for many of us, we look at that verse and it creates more worry in our life. It says, don't worry about anything, and we know we can't do that, and so we begin to worry about the fact that now we're worrying about that. We've added that to our worries. Well, you know, I've found that worry warts come in all shapes and sizes. It's not just really nervous people. In fact, many times the greatest worriers are the people who seem like they have everything under control. And yet, behind the scenes, they're constantly worried about keeping everything under control. So today, we're going to look at how we can reduce worry in our lives, even during this crisis. There are basically three different, what I call, levels of worriers. Level one are those of us who worry some of the time. There are times in our life when worry begins to overwhelm us. We all do that from time to time. And I think we're all probably at least at level one during this COVID-19 crisis. Level two are those of you who worry all the time. Every day of your life, there's something that you're worrying about. There's something that you're anxious about. But you know what? That's not even the highest level. Level three are real professional worriers. A professional worrier not only worries all the time, they also worry about the people who don't worry all the time. In fact, some of you have decided to become sort of like the designated worrier for your family or your workplace or your circle of friends. I mean, you worry for them because you don't think they're worrying enough. That's how to know you're a real professional worrier. And so what I want to do today is I want to go after those of you who are professional worriers, because I feel like if I can help those people, professional worriers, I think it'll help all of us when it comes to worry. And today we're going to look at a story in Matthew 8 that I had you turn to. It's a story about Jesus and his disciples when they're in a little boat and they're caught in a big storm. Matthew 8, starting in verse 23. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake. By the way, the lake is the Sea of Galilee, with his disciples. Suddenly, a terrible storm came up with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Now, this is a great picture of why we worry. This storm sweeps over these guys, and they become worried. And there are some reasons why these disciples become worried, and they're the same reasons that you and I oftentimes become worried. So let me give you four common causes of worry. The first one is unexpected problems. Unexpected problems. The disciples become anxious because of the storm. They weren't expecting it. It was an unexpected problem. And all of us, we've had a huge unexpected problem come into our lives recently with COVID-19, haven't we? And when we have an unexpected problem, oftentimes that will lead us to worry. Second common cause of worry is overwhelming circumstances. See, these disciples are not only worried because of the storm, but they're also worried because of the water that is now coming into their boat. And you need to remember that these guys, man, they're professional fishermen. I mean, they have lived and worked on the Sea of Galilee their entire life. And so they understood how serious this storm was. This was a serious problem that they were facing. So sometimes the reason that we worry is not because we're like making things up. It's because we have real problems going on in our life. We have real waves coming into our boat. And that's certainly happening now. I mean, these circumstances that we're in now are certainly overwhelming, and they're real. And therefore, we worry. Third common cause of worry, inadequate resources. See, the disciples were worried because they were in a little boat on a big lake in a big storm. And they felt like they had inadequate resources. I mean, do you think these guys would have been nearly as worried if they were in this storm in a big cruise ship? No, they wouldn't have been worried like that. See, it was the size of their boat versus the size of the storm. They felt like they had inadequate resources. And I know that's the way that a lot of us feel right now. We feel like maybe we have inadequate resources to get through COVID-19. Maybe you feel like you have inadequate wisdom or inadequate strength or inadequate energy or inadequate patience or inadequate finances. You know, that's one of the reasons why we're doing everything we can to keep our compassion ministry open 7 days a week for a drive-through service to help people with real, tangible needs, because we all feel at times that we don't have the adequate resources to get through this. And it creates worry. Fourth reason for worry is when we feel alone. You know, here are the disciples. This storm is sweeping over them, and they begin to get worried. And then they look at the bottom of the boat, and they look at their leader, Jesus, and what is he doing? He's sleeping. It made them feel super alone. And that's oftentimes why we worry. We feel alone. And maybe that's the way that you feel right now. You feel alone. That's one of the reasons why it's so important for you and I to stay connected, at least digitally, during this crisis. You know, we can't get together, you know, physically, but we need to stay connected. That's why it's super important that you prioritize these online church meetings and you prioritize your online small group. And not all of our small groups are online yet, but we're trying to go that way. And if you want to know different small groups that you might be able to join online, they're going to be on our website. You can find out that information. That's one of the reasons why our pastors are doing a Bible study every single day of the week, Monday through Friday at 11:40. We're calling it the 11:40, where one of our pastors will lead a Bible study, and you can connect. It's on our Facebook page. You can connect, and there'll be a lot of connection that way. We need to stay connected, because when we feel alone, that just ramps up the worry in our life. And that's what's happening with the disciples here. They're feeling alone. And I think, you know, with the disciples, I can just imagine that they kept looking at Jesus as this storm continued to get worse and worse. And they're thinking to themselves, man, when's this guy going to wake up? And then all of a sudden the waves, the water starts coming into their boat, and they're thinking, well, he's got to wake up now. And yet he doesn't. And then they're starting to be tossed and turned every which way. And they're thinking, surely he's going to wake up now. And he still doesn't. I wouldn't have put it past a few of them, you know, to try to wake him up, to walk by Jesus and sort of accidentally nudge him, you know, with their knee, trying to wake him up. I mean, can you just imagine the conversation that these disciples are having with one another while Jesus is asleep? I can just imagine one of them saying, hey, somebody needs to wake Jesus up. And somebody else saying, I'm not going to wake Jesus up. You wake him up. No, you wake him up. No, you need to wake him up. No, he's always grumpy when he wakes up out of a sound sleep like this. Or something, you know. You need to wake him up. He likes you better. I can just imagine the conversation. But maybe, you know, maybe you kind of feel that way right now. Maybe you feel like you keep looking at Jesus, hoping that he's going to somehow wake up and notice what's going on right now. You know, this crisis is real. And so maybe you're kind of glancing in God's direction and saying, God, don't you notice what's going on down here? Don't you care? God, are you asleep? Don't you see what's going on? See, worry grows out of the suspicion that nobody cares about you except you. And I think that's the way that a lot of people feel right now. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're thinking, well, Jesus, man, don't you see what's going on with the coronavirus? Don't you see what's going on in our world? Don't you know what's going on in my job? Don't you see what's going on with my health or health of a loved one? Feeling alone, that's a big reason why people worry. So, how do we keep from worrying when we feel like God isn't there? Even though we know intellectually he is, but we sometimes feel like he's not. Well, let me tell you some things that don't work. One thing that doesn't work to get rid of worry in our life are cliches. I could tell you, don't worry, be happy. That doesn't work. You know what else doesn't work? Statistics. You know, there are proven statistics that 92% of the things that people worry about never happen. Never happen. But we're worried about the 8% that do happen, right? I mean, that's a pretty big percentage. You know, even appeals to health don't help us overcome worry. I mean, most of us, we know what worry does to us. We know that worry raises our heart rate. We know that worry raises our blood pressure. We know what worry does to us emotionally and how it affects everybody around us. We know how worry tires us out and it actually shortens our life. And yet we still can't stop worrying. Why not? Because we haven't found a better solution yet. We haven't found a way to stop worrying. So what's the solution? What's the cure? How does God begin to reduce the worries in our life. Let's continue on in the story, verses 25 to 27. The disciples went to Jesus and woke him up shouting. Now, why were they shouting? Because it was so loud in the boat from the winds and the waves, that's the only way Jesus could hear them. This is a big deal. Shouting, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And Jesus answered, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. Then he stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves. You know that word rebuke there in the Greek language, it's the Greek word epitomeo. And he basically means to strangle it off. It means to say, stop it. Jesus said, stop it to the winds and the waves. And suddenly, all was calm. The disciples just sat there in awe. Who is this? They asked themselves. Even the wind and the waves obey him. So let me give you three cures for worry. And the first one is, ask for help. Ask for help. See, there came a moment where it got so bad for the disciples that they woke Jesus up and they asked him for help. When was that moment? When they thought they were going to drown. You know, why is it that we wait until we think we're going to drown before we ask God for help? I mean, why is it that many of us handle life something like this? Well, I can handle this. I can handle this. I can handle this. I can handle this. God, I'm going to die. Why do we do that? I mean, wouldn't it be a lot better if we ask God for help the very moment that the waves begin to rise in our boat? If we did that, we wouldn't have to be worrying all the time. Yet, usually we wait way too long to ask God for help. And that's one of the lessons in this story. The worriers who remain worriers are always reluctant to ask for help. Is that you? Are you reluctant to ask God for help? He doesn't want you to be. You know, Paul the Apostle says it this way, and we looked at this last weekend in Philippians 4:6. He says, be anxious for nothing. And yet in everything, by prayer, underline the word prayer, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, prayer is the way that we ask for help today. Now, you might be thinking, well, Brian, I already tried that. I've been praying to God, and yet I still feel as worried as before. Well, let me encourage you. Before you give up on prayer, make sure that you're following the right directions. You say, what do you mean? Well, for example, if I told you that an aspirin would cure your headache, and you took an aspirin and put it under your pillow, it would not cure your headache, would it? Why not? Because you were not following directions. Well, you know what? There are some simple directions for prayer in this verse, Philippians 4:6. There really is a kind of praying that will reduce worries in our lives. So let's look back at that verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, Paul is telling us that the more things we pray about, the less worries we're going to have. So imagine a big continuum that had everything that we pray about on it. And let's say at one end of the continuum is, I pray about nothing. I never pray. And on the other end of the continuum, it says, I pray about everything. Now, is anyone all the way to I pray about everything? Probably not. And yet, here's how I want to encourage you. Each step that you make along the continuum between I pray about nothing and I pray about everything reduces your worries. So the first step along the continuum from I pray about nothing might be something like, well, I pray about the crisis situations in my life. And by the way, if you're not already, man, start praying for God to intervene in this COVID-19 crisis. Every day, that should be at the top of your list. for God to come and wipe this thing out, for God to come and, you know, stop the spread of it supernaturally, for God to heal those who already have it, for God to give wisdom to the governmental leaders and the healthcare providers and all that. Protection. I mean, there's so much to pray about in this crisis. Make sure you're praying. And then maybe the next stop along the continuum is, you know, I pray about the big decisions of my life, not just crisis situations, but a little bit more, I pray about the big decisions. Like, am I going to move? Am I going to change careers? Am I going to get married? Am I going to have children? How many children am I going to have? When can I get rid of my children? You know, the big decisions in life. And then the next step along the continuum might be something like, well, I pray about my relationships. I pray about my marriage if I'm married. I pray about my kids if I have kids. You know, I pray about my relationships with my coworkers, my friendships. And then maybe even another step along that continuum might be about something like, well, I pray about all the decisions in my life, not just the big ones. I try to talk to God about all my decisions. See, here's the deal. Every step you make along the continuum, you reduce your worries. And so the secret isn't finding yourself going from one end all the way to the other. No, the secret is just taking one more step. Because every step you take, your worry is reduced. That is the kind of prayer that reduces worry. Now, the second part of verse 6 in Philippians 4 says, let your requests be made known to God. See, sometimes we go to God and we sort of talk to him, but we never get around to talking to him about the things that are really bothering us. You know, maybe you think you're going to bother God if you really get specific with him about what's bothering you. Maybe you think that God doesn't have enough time for you or something. I want you to know, none of that is true. Do you know that God is big enough to care about all the 7 billion plus people on this planet? Keep the universe running, deal with the coronavirus, and give you daily personal attention. Isn't that amazing? We worship a truly amazing God. And the fact is, God wants to meet your need. But you have to be specific. Don't just tell him that you're worried. Be specific. That will reduce the worry in your life. And then part of verse 6 in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Man, I can't think of anything more important to reducing worry in our lives than thanksgiving. I mean, many times we go to God and we talk to him about our worries or we tell him about our needs, but we never thank him. We never thank him. I want to encourage you in your prayer time. Make sure you're spending some of your prayer time thanking God. You might say, God, I do have a lot of worries, but the truth is there's a lot I can be thankful about. And then just start listing the things that you can be thankful about. That will reduce worry in your life as well. So the first part of the cure for worry, I have to ask for help. Second part is then I need to question my fears. Why? Because my worries almost always grow out of my fears. You know, the things that we're worried about almost always have at their root the things that we're really afraid are going to happen to us. Did you know that one of the most common phrases in the Bible, one of the most common commands in the Bible is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Say that out loud. Don't be afraid. If you're next to somebody, say it to them. Don't be afraid. Do you know that almost everybody in the Bible had that said to them by God at one time or another? Abraham did, Moses did, Joshua did, Mary did, Joseph did. And yet Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. And then he says this, so don't let your heart be troubled, or don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Again, it's a command. And that's what God wants to do in every single one of our lives. He wants to give us peace of mind and peace of heart. And so let me give you a practical exercise that will help you to deal with the fears in your life. Take out a piece of paper, you don't have to do it now, and draw a line down the middle of it and make two columns. At the top of those columns, on one side write, my fears, and on the other side write, what if. My fears, what if. Now on the fear side, you might write something like, well, I'm afraid I might get the coronavirus. Or I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. Or I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. Whatever your fears are. But write them down on that page. Why? Because many times our fears seem bigger than they actually are when they're just in our mind because we don't have them down on paper. When you get them down on paper, sometimes they don't seem nearly as big. And then over on the what if side, think it through for a moment. What if this thing that I'm afraid of that I've written down actually happens? What if? Again, oftentimes writing it down and facing that fear helps you realize that you're not really thinking correctly about this. In fact, one of the things that I think about on my fears, you know, my fears and then what if, I think, what is the worst thing that could happen if my fear actually came true? For example, I'm afraid of XYZ happening, whatever XYZ is for you. But even if that happens, God's going to be there for me. That's the truth. Even that, if that happens, I still have people in my life who love me. Even if that happens, my life's still going to go ahead, and I still have purpose for my life. See, when you play the what-if game, you begin to realize that even if your greatest fear happens, it doesn't change the fact that God will be with you. It doesn't change the fact that God has a purpose for your life. It doesn't change the fact that God has a future for you. It doesn't change the fact that your eternity is settled as a follower of Jesus. So, three cures for worry. Ask for help. Question your fears. And then the third one is acknowledge God's control. You know, at the end of Matthew 8 in this story, it has a punchline to it. The disciples are in the boat. They're super worried. They think they're going to drown. They wake Jesus up. They tell him they think they're going to drown. Jesus sort of gets up, kind of yawns and said, why do you have so little faith? Then he looks out at the winds and the waves and he says, winds, waves, stop it. And they become calm. The punchline is in verse 27 where the disciples say, who is this? Underline that. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Who is this? He was God. That's who it was. See, the fact is they had God with them in the boat. And they were worried about a few waves. They had God with them in the boat. And the great news is, you can have God with you in your life. That's why Jesus came to earth. Jesus came to earth about 2,000 years ago and lived a perfect, sinless life. And then at the age of about 33 years old, he willingly died on a cross for all of your sins and all of my sins, all the wrong thoughts, wrong words, wrong deeds that we've ever done. And then 3 days later, he was resurrected from the dead. And then 40 days after that, he was ascended to heaven where he sits at the right hand of the Father. And he did all of that. Why? So that you and I could have a relationship with God through Jesus. That we could actually have God in our life. No matter what's going on, these guys had God with them in the boat. We can have God inside of us. We can have God in our life. And the way that that happens is by committing your life to fully follow Jesus. And I just need to pause for a moment and say, have you ever done that? Have you ever fully committed your life to follow Jesus? If not, you could do it today. You could do it today. Now, I know a lot of you, you already have God in your life. You're already a follower of Jesus. But you know what? When we recognize that God is with us, And we acknowledge God's control over everything. Man, it so reduces the worries that are part of our lives. In fact, I want to show you this verse, Proverbs 3:6. It says, in everything you do, put God first. Underline that. Put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. Now, would you agree that part of success would mean not being filled with worry all the time? I would. And the truth is, the areas of our life in which we worry the most are the same areas that we've not put God first in, that God is not in control of in our life because we haven't put him first. I mean, for example, are you worried right now about your finances? Then ask yourself, who's in control of my finances? Have you put Jesus in control of your finances? Have you been doing your finances his way? When you start putting Jesus in control of your finances and doing your best to do your finances his way, it lessens the worries about finances in your life. Or maybe you're worried about your family or about your marriage. If that's the case, ask yourself, who's the head of this household? You know, when you put God first in overseeing your household, your worries lessen. Or maybe you're worried about your safety during the coronavirus. Ask yourself, who am I trusting for my safety and my security? Because when you trust God for your safety and security, your worries lessen. In any area that you put God in control of, you begin to worry a lot less about. Is God in control of every area of your life? If he's not, you could put him in control of that area right now. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, I pray right now for every person that's watching, every person that's listening all around the world. God, I pray right now that you would fill their life and that you would give them grace right now to put you first in every single area of their life. Help them to put you first in their finances. Help them to put you first in their family relationships. Help you to put you first in watching over them and taking care of their safety and their health. And every area of their life, God, would you give them grace to put you first? You know, while you're in an attitude of prayer, maybe there's something specific that you need to surrender to God and put him first in. If that's the case, just do that right now. You know, maybe you'd like someone to pray for you. You know, if you'd like somebody from our team, a ministry team member or one of our pastors to pray for you, just click on the live button prayer. The live prayer button. I said the wrong thing. Or type the word prayer in the chat area. And one of our ministry team members or one of our pastors will pray for you in a private chat. Not where everybody sees, but in a private chat. And if you would like to commit your life to Jesus Christ, you've never done that before. For the very first time, if you want to commit your life to Jesus, there's a blue button in the chat window that says raise hand. And if you've never committed your life to follow Jesus, you don't have God in your life yet, but you'd like to, why don't you just click that blue button that says raise your hand? Just do it right now. And then after you do that, there's another button that'll come up. It says request prayer. Click that button too that's in the chat. And then someone will follow up with you right now in a private chat, not where everybody can see, but in a private chat. You know, before we go, I just want to pray a blessing over us. But I want to say that next weekend, we're going to continue in this series. I'm going to talk about how do I deal with fear during COVID-19. I know a lot of people are dealing with fear. What does the Bible say? How do I deal with fear? I'm going to pray a blessing over you. So I'm going to ask you to stand if you'd like. I'm not going to know if you do or not, but I want to just bless you before I go. Lord, would you bless every person here? Bless them that's listening, that's watching all over the world. Bless them, keep them. Cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor upon them, God, and give them peace now. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Stay well. Follow the health protocols. We'll see you online soon.